tell the wondrous story, how my lot's essayed to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, whose his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. On that third verse, let's all stand, shall we? Everybody standing on the third verse, I will praise my dear Redeemer. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell. How to victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. The last one. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life has brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Let's remain standing. Turn over to number 309.
While we're turning, let's have everybody move over to this room. Move over to this side. Move. Just take over and get back in the middle. That way we'll have a better song. It won't hurt you. Everybody's got a good spell about it. Just keep on moving. Just kind of crack in there. Amen. What was that song?
Number 309. He keeps me singing.
Yes, sir.
309. There's within my heart a melody.
Sweetest name I know.
Okay, now listen, here's the way it works tonight. If you want a blessing, I'll tell you how to get a blessing. This works every time. Just open your mouth and sing with all your heart. That'll do it. That'll do it. And we were up there in the upper room praying, and man, if you guys want to join that, about 6:30 every night, we're going to be up there praying. Saturday, we're going to be here a little early for prayer, so you need to come and be a part of that. But here's the way it works when you sing. Just open your mouth and give it your best. One of the men up there, as he was praying, he was talking about being around the cigarette smoke and the world and the cussing and all the garbage you got to put up with. And so that's why we're going to sing every verse. That's why we do sing every verse in the Bible, in the songbook. And we don't sing every song, but eventually one of these days we're going to learn them all. But we got about 5 songs picked out. That is for the very purpose of getting you transformed out of the world and into the Lord tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what it's for, this music and this song and all this stuff. Listen, we got special music. We got a special speaker. And we've got the food prepared. You know what we need to do? After tonight, now tomorrow night, everybody needs to go out and bring one person with them. That's what the Lord said. Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Amen? Now, you need to do that tonight. And I'm not looking for no numbers. We're not trying to build the biggest, fastest growing church. But, brother, we went to a lot of expense. We need to get as many as we can. I don't care if they're Christian or not Christian. I pray if they're not Christian, get them saved. If they are Christian, get them excited. If they're in somebody else's church, amen. Go back and help that church. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. So you're here tonight, just praise the Lord that you're here. We've got a brother here visiting all the way from Whittier. Would you mind standing, brother, and introducing yourself and your family to us? Amen. Now, he heard about this thing, I guess, through the Bible Believers Bulletin we was having, one thing or another. It's good to have you folks. We rejoice that you drove so far to come and be with us. So let's continue our song service tonight and just keep on praying. The second song, ushers, we'll take up the offering. Amen.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. Number 285. You know, I just think we sing a lot better standing up, don't you? Amen? Let's stand, shall we? 285. Let's sing it now.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my safety. He tells me every care on him to roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn. From my heart he now keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Yeah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of... He will never, never leave me.
He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do His blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna, He my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Number 155. 155. I'd love to tell the story of unseen things above. 155. 155. Let's sing it now. I love to tell a story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell a story because I know 'tis true. It's
much prayer about the meetings, not so much for the finances,
Lord, take care of that. We need to pray and ask that the Lord be with these two fellows and keep them safe. Minister to them. Give them things they need. Brother Buddy needs a flywheel. Anybody got a flywheel you can give him? You've got to have some trouble there, so we're praying that. And be in prayer about that. Pray the Lord to fix that little truck so he can get going when he needs to leave here. He's got to try to get back to some other meetings. And man, if you saw that truck, he'd really pray for him, I guarantee you. But keep him in prayer about that. Keep Brother McGee in prayer. He'll be able to stay before the Lord and have plenty of time to rest, and we won't run to death. Pray for the meetings now. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless us often. Our Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, as we come before thee with our hearts hopefully ready, prepared for the message tonight. And God, we know, Lord, that nothing is free. And God, we know that the gift of salvation is a gift. But Lord, it cost you something. And Father, we know that we have a responsibility, Lord, to thee, God, to take care of the work and take care of the things, Lord, that come our way that you bless us with. And Father, we ask you tonight, God, help us to be good stewards with what you have us to do with. And God, bless the meetings, Lord. Lord, we know that when we're in dire need of money, if we don't ask the people for it, we go before thee. And God, tonight, may you take what may come in and bless it, Lord. And Lord, you did it so many times in days gone by. And Father, may you do it once again. Lord, that's how this church has survived. That's how this church is able to have a 50-year anniversary, is by looking to thee. And Father, tonight, God, may you come and be a part with us and bless us in every part, every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Somebody made a joke about how, you know, Catholics get up and down and all that. You know, they don't have what we've got to sing about. Amen? Let's stand one more time. Number 178. Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh. 178. 178. fine singing. Thank you. You may be seated.
One other announcement. Tomorrow at 2:30, we need some ladies to show up and help Miss Holly clean the church. If you could help us out, we would really appreciate it. And that's going to get us ready for tomorrow night. For Saturday, we're going to have company Saturday, so we're going to kind of spruce the place up a little bit. If you can help us out, and then if you're not doing nothing, why don't you come out and help us out? We'd be very much appreciative of that, too. I had a fellow come down today and just take the yard and just whip that in shape and got it real cleaned up. We praise the Lord for that. Then we're going to have Brother Buddy and his family come if they're able at this time. And we just want to turn it over to them and just let them kind of minister to us in song tonight. We're going to give it over to Brother Jim and let him minister to us in the Word of God. Amen. Okay, Brother Buddy, you come now.
Amen. Come on, y'all. Amen. Let's all stand. No, I'm just kidding. Go back to sleep, Brother Freddy. Amen. He done got his head on his elbow ready to go. Amen. Amen. Glad to. Jim, thank you, Lord, for keeping this thing up now. Oh, boy. He likes whispers. Amen. While we're getting ready here, I got some tapes in the back. One with the Precious Old Bible, I think we had last time. We had a new one made by Brother Eastepps, and there's three songs on the back that's not in stereo. I don't know what happened. It was Brother Eastepps duplicator, and one side works, but I don't charge for them anyway, so you don't get ripped off.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And there's four extra songs on there than what's on the other tape, so really, you know, you get more for your money anyway. Amen.
Just memory, and everything will be just right. After all.
sung last night, but this is a theme song, amen. Brother Noe, okay, New Jersey, Brother Noe was supposed to preach, and we'd already sung before he came to preach, and he said, "Well, I'm not preaching to the blunt, I'll sing the precious old Bible," and we had to sing it the whole week. He wouldn't preach a day until we sung it, amen. So if y'all don't like it, just plug up the ears, amen.
What light is this shining so bright before me, that gives me such courage the right way to be? What hope for my trusting soul ever shall be, God's wonderful good divine. And I love His Bible, the precious old Bible, the light of my pathway to shine. It keeps me so happy, always so happy, God's wonderful good divine.
What hope for the traveler, strength of God, that makes him determined to keep trotting on. What sweet consolation from heaven's bright home, God's wonderful book divine.
And I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible, a light of my pathway to shine. And it keeps me so happy, always so happy,
taking Ohio State history. I don't know why. Anyway, she's taking Ohio State history.
And the secular Ohio State History book, it has a little paragraph about that long on camp meetings in Ohio back in the 1800s. And you wouldn't believe what they did at those camp meetings back in the 1800s. It said it's a place where Baptists, Presbyterians, and Methodists met for a week or two-week meeting, and said the day consisted of preaching, praying, singing, shouting, and many things. Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. That's before the early 1900s when the charismatics took all that. Amen. Yeah. Amen. There's a lot of folks shouting a long time before that. You just knew what to shout. Amen. Amen. So I don't mind the shout. Amen. As long as I understand what to shout. Amen.
Some people say that this old-time religion is just a thing of the past. But in this modern day that we're living, it's the only thing that will last. Now you may think that I'm a little old-fashioned. Well, friend, that's all right with me. For I'm so glad that I am a Christian, and from sin I have been set free.
Thank you, Brother Prather, and thank the singers. Amen. I don't know about you, but I see and hear a lot of singers in the world today, and a lot of them are entertainers instead of singers. You'd think God was a Hollywood talent scout looking at these people to see how well they could perform. It's always a blessing and refreshing to see someone who's more concerned about getting the message across rather than getting their self across. Amen. And I thank the Lord for the good singing. Thank the Lord for the brother coming over here leading singing for us and being here in the meeting. And I appreciate it very much. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Tonight I want to look at a portion of Scripture that is a great chapter dealing with the body of Christ, and say some things that I hope will be an encouragement and maybe an exhortation to some of you to serve the Lord more and better than what we have. I thank the Lord for the chance that we have to meet together. We come sometimes take for granted just coming to church We need to realize while we're here tonight, a lot of our brothers and sisters across the sea are meeting in houses and meeting for fear of their life. And we that are saved ought to rejoice that God has permitted us to meet together. We ought to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to do it and praise His name for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to begin to read in verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, note, as it hath pleased Him. Not as it pleased us, but as it pleased them. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I'd ask you with me again to bow your heads and hearts as we go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the Word of God tonight. Lord, we're thankful for this privilege that You've given us to come and meet here in church tonight. Lord, as we think about the songs of Zion, what we've been able to hear, our spirit's been refreshed by just being here so far tonight. And dear God, we thank You tonight for saving our souls. We thank You for that night when alone and lost, without hope and without You, we fell upon our knees and cried for mercy, and You saved us. God, we think tonight where we might be this evening if it wasn't for Your saving grace. Some of us, Lord, might be in some beer joint. We might be laying up somewhere all doped up. Lord, some of us tonight might even be dead in hell if it wasn't for Your saving grace. Thank You for saving our souls, God. Thank You for watching over us. And Lord, when we didn't care about You, You still cared about us. Thank You for being the great God and the great Savior that You are. And dear Lord, we pray tonight that as we've enjoyed and sensed Thy presence in the song service, that You'd be here in this service tonight. Lord, we've come to learn from a long time ago that unless You meet with us and do a work, there'll be nothing done that's worthwhile here tonight. Separate us for the next few minutes from this old world, the flesh, and the devil. Wash us in the precious blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and clear from our hearts and our minds anything that would distract from the Word of God, anything that would grieve Thy Holy Spirit. Get it out of our hearts and out of this building here tonight. God, I pray that You'd bless these people that have come and taken a night when they could have been somewhere else doing something else. They've come to hear from You tonight, and I pray that they'd do that. I pray they'd not, Lord, just sit and be there, but Lord, their hearts and their ears might be open to the Word of God, and they might do as they did in the book of Acts, receive the Word of God gladly tonight. Bless this Word that's preached, and may it do the work that You'd have to be done. And Lord, if there's any here tonight that's never been saved, may tonight be their night of salvation. Bless the Word of God, honor and lift up the sweet and lovely name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. We find in the Bible that God is a great illustrator. Whenever God wants us to show something or to understand something that we can't see, God always illustrates it with something that we can see. And that's why when you study your Bible, two great words in understanding the Bible are like and as. When God wants to show you something, He says, this is like this, or this is as this. In this chapter that we're looking at tonight, God has taken the body of Christ, which is a spiritual thing, when we get saved, that we're put into. And although we're saved and we're members,
new man that's been born again. But God said the spiritual body, that body that is made up of all believers, is like our physical body. And he said, just as our physical body, every part of it is important, so every part of the body of Christ is important as well. Now I want you to realize tonight that if you're saved, you are important in the body of Christ. That if you're a born-again child of God, you have a job to do, and the body of Christ operating through this church or the local church, wherever you're at, can only do as good a job as long as every part there does what God has called them to do. God makes it abundantly clear here that the spiritual body, like our physical body, only operates as well as every part. The psalmist said that our human body is fearfully and wonderfully made, and it is. God has placed our body in a fearful and a wonderful way, and God said here, sometimes the uncomely parts, the little parts, which we think to be less honorable, God has bestowed more abundant honor on those. Our physical body has uncomely parts, little parts. Take, for instance, our nose. Now, for some, it's a bigger part than others, but for some, it is a small, uncomely part. Did you ever think about your nose much? Maybe you haven't. But suppose your nose was on upside down. Every time it rained, you would drown, and every time you sneezed, you would blow your hat right off your head. But God has made you in such a way. You probably have never meditated much on your big toe, have you? I mean, have you ever just sat down and had about an hour-long meditation on your big toe? No. But let the phone ring at 3 o'clock in the morning. You rise from bed, run briskly across the room, and hit it on the door, and you will realize how important your big toe really is. Now, you know what God's saying? He said, sometimes we look at members of the body, and though they're uncomely, a part that doesn't receive a lot of attention or recognition, we think they're not necessary. But that's not how God looks at it. God says every part of the body is necessary. Every child of God that is saved has a work and a job to do. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, you have a job to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a function to perform in the body of Christ that you and you alone can do. And I pray that God will help you see that tonight. Now, not all of us have the same job to do. That's evident. God wouldn't ask us to do all the same job. If we were all preachers, we wouldn't have nobody to preach to. I mean, we just wouldn't do it. And if we were all preachers, we could never get along. I mean, you know, preachers are a lot. Even though they talk about the Baptist church, and where did the Baptist church start? Some Acts 2 and some at Calvary. No, the Baptist church started way back in the book of Genesis, where Abraham said to Lot, you go your way and I'll go mine. And that's where the first Baptist split occurred a long time ago, and Baptists have been splitting and splintering ever since, I reckon. But God didn't intend for all of us to do the same thing. Now, thank God for the talent God has given the Blunkalls in this family here. Now, if I had to sing instead of preach, there'd be nobody here tonight, I guarantee you. Last thing my wife does is when I leave, she kisses me and says, don't sing, don't sing. She said, it'd be all they can do to take your preaching, much less your singing, amen? God never called me to sing. I don't have that ability. God never called me to play this piano like this lady can do here tonight. But just because we can't do what somebody else does doesn't mean we don't have a job to do. If you're saved, God clarifies it right here. You have a job to do. Now, although all of us don't have the same ability, we don't have the same talent, there are some abilities that every one of us can have. That no matter how uneducated, no matter how backward or bashful, or no matter how limited you may be as a human being, there are some abilities that every one of us can have. And tonight I want to talk to you about a few simple abilities that all of us can have. That no matter the education, no matter the talent, no matter who we are, what we've done, or where we've been, there's some abilities that all of us can have as part of the body of Christ that God wants us to have that'll be of great assistance to us being used of the Lord. Now, of these abilities, the first one that I want to talk about is what I call availability. Availability. This is the place where Christian service begins. This is the place where every Christian at some time or another takes the first step of service in their Christian life, and it's what I call availability. It is to make yourself available so God can use you. A lot of people say, why are some Christians used more than other Christians? Because they make themselves available so God can use them. Now, hear me and hear me good tonight. If you're saved, God wants to use you. If you're saved, God wants to use you. But if you don't make yourself available, God cannot use you. Every child of God must come to a point of surrender sometime in your life where you say, God, I'm saved. I am your child. I want to serve you. Whatever I can do, here am I, Lord. Use me in whatever way you can. We read in the book of Samuel where Hannah, and I talked about her last night, prayed, and God gave her a boy. Said, give me a son, give me a child, and I'll give him to you all the days of her life. And Hannah kept her vow she made to the Lord. When he was old enough, she took Samuel to the temple. He served there with Eli, and helped him in the temple and the service there where the priests, the Levites, did. And he was there one night, and the Lord called and said, Samuel. Samuel got up, went into Eli, and he said, here am I, you called me. He said, son, I didn't call you, go back. Again, the voice of the Lord called and said, Samuel. He ran into Eli and said, here am I. He said, I didn't call you, go back again. And the third time, Eli recognized that it was the voice of the Lord. Showed you what a spiritual giant he was. Amen. Took him three times. And he said, look, he said, Samuel, it's not me that's calling you, it's the Lord. And he said, the next time he says that, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And the voice came again, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. God used Samuel as a great prophet and as a great man to the nation of Israel. And you know why? It wasn't any great education he had. It wasn't great talent that he had. It wasn't any great ability that he had. It was merely that he made himself available that God could use him. There came a time in my life when I was 16 years old, I fell on my face and spent nearly the whole night in prayer and said, God, I don't care what it is or what I'm doing. I want to be used of you. I've done it all. I've been the janitor of a church. I've been the youth director of a church. I have been a Sunday school superintendent. I have drove a bus. I have been associate pastor. I have been pastor. I have taught. I have done anything. And I'm willing still today to do anything that God wants me to do. Must be a time in your life where you make yourself available. God does not ask about your ability or your inability. God only wants to know about your availability. And God never refuses to use a Christian that'll make their self available to God. When you come and fall before God and say, God, here I am, use me. Whatever I can do, use me. However I can be helped, use me. I guarantee you God will find a place in His work and His service for you if you'll make yourself available so God can use you and so God can take your life and do something with it. The ability that all of us can have is availability. To come to God and say, God, here I am. All that I have is yours. All that I am. It's a point of surrender in our life where we make ourselves available that whatever God wants to do with us, whatever God wants to do through us, and however God wants to work, He will do it. Years ago, there lived a man. His name was Francis Asbury. He became a great Methodist missionary. Brother Blunkall was talking about Methodists and different people getting together. It used to be that Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutheran, Baptists, they all believed the Bible. I mean, that's why they could get together. You hear about them getting together? They may disagree on certain doctrine, but they believed the Bible was the Word of God. They knew Jesus was the only way to heaven. They got together over that. I mean, they just got together and preached. And he was a Methodist missionary. But as a young boy, he worked as a blacksmith, an apprentice blacksmith, learned a trade. And his blacksmith that he worked with was a saved man. He asked Francis one day, he said, are you a Christian? Francis said, I suppose that I am. He said, I don't smoke or drink, and I never miss church. And he said, people, the kids make fun of me and call me parson or preacher. He said, I suppose that I am. And the blacksmith in his wisdom said, Francis, there's more to being a Christian than that. There's a matter of a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And he just kind of put that on him and left it with him. And he said, come and go to church with me this Sunday. And he did. And he came home as a young boy, all excited, and he said, Mother, 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 he said, you should have been at church today. He said, I've never been in anything like it in all my life. He said, you know, when the preacher prayed, he didn't even read his prayer. He just prayed right out of his heart. And when they got preaching and singing, they got saying, Amen and praise the Lord. He said, why, they'd have done that in our church, our preacher's wig would have fallen off of his head. He said, Mother, they talked about one named Jesus, who we've heard about, but who loved us and died for us, and who we needed to know in a personal way. Wasn't long until Francis Asbury received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. After that, in that same Methodist church, a man named Wesley came. And Wesley had just been to the United States of America on the eastern coast in Georgia, up in some of those places, preaching to the American Indians that were here then. And he preached that day in a congregation. Francis Asbury sat out there as you did. And Wesley began to describe the sad condition of American Indians who didn't know God. And he said, there they are, without God, and without hope, and without salvation. He said, what I want to ask you is, who go and tell them about Jesus? Who go and carry the glorious gospel to them? And Francis Asbury's heart was so stirred and he was so challenged that right in the middle of the preaching, he stood up and he said, I'll go! I'll go! If nobody else goes, I'll go! And he looked around and was embarrassed to realize it wasn't a call for an invitation, it was merely a challenge, and he was the only one that's standing in that building. He sat down, and after the service, Wesley said, young man, do you mean what you said? He said, I mean what I said with all of my heart. And he said, if you'll go, God will use you. Francis Asbury surrendered to be a missionary, preached over 17,000 messages to the American Indians, literally preached himself out, saw thousands of Indians come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, established several old-time Methodist churches where the gospel was preached. Who was Francis Asbury? A blacksmith, a young man, uneducated, untalented. He had one ability that God requires and wants in every one of us. And that's availability to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, use me. We need to have availability. And there's another ability we need to have. And I call it durability. Durability. The ability to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When Billy Sunday preached in America and across the country in days gone by, he said, we need a revival in America, and it's a revival of stick ability. It is Christians who will stick by God and the Word of God. Nothing saddens a preacher's heart more than to see Christians who were once living for God that are now not in church and now not living for God. Nothing saddens any preacher any more than to see those that were once in there fighting the good fight of faith but now have laid down the armor and are no longer living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a kind of day where people want it convenient. They want it real nice. I mean, they want just everything done. I heard where they have funerals now. You don't have to get out of your car. You just drive up and look at the person in the casket. I told them in my church, if I die and you're so sorry you won't get out of the car and come and see me, don't come to my funeral because I'll come back and haunt you after it's over. Amen. I mean, I've never seen an age where people want it so convenient. We want a nice little preacher, a nice little church, and rosy little... I mean, they watched Hollywood and TV so long that that philosophy and that thinking has permeated their life. I mean, they really think something good is going to happen to you today. I mean, they really think every day... Now listen, I wish I could tell you getting saved and becoming a Christian would solve all your problems. But if I told you that, I'd be the biggest liar that ever lived. When you get saved, you don't get all of your problems solved. All you get is the Lord Jesus Christ, who will help you overcome every problem you've got. Now let me tell you, getting saved gave some of you some problems you never even had before. Getting saved either way that you go. And there comes times in a child of God's life where you don't feel like singing, but you gotta sing. You don't feel like going to church, but you gotta go. You don't feel like living right, but you gotta live right. You don't feel like preaching, but you gotta preach. You don't feel like doing what you know, but you must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Durability, the ability to endure hardness. What a far cry real Bible Christianity is from this soft, silken age that we live in today. We've got a day and age when people want it nice. They want it soft and they want it easy. And I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you that when you get saved and start to live for the Lord, that you'll just turn out like Jim Baker and them. And you'll just have the Heritage Acres there, and you can go there and just, you'll have thousands and thousands of dollars. Everything will be all right. Listen. Does me as well. Amen? That's not... Now, you know that's what it's not all about, folks. You know what Christianity's all about? Getting up on Monday morning, going to work. Fighting the crowd that's out there. Resisting the temptations of the wicked music, the wicked people, the ungodliness that's in this world. There comes time when we as children of God just have to grit our spiritual teeth and by the grace of God, go on. There's one ability that every child of God can have and needs to have. That is the ability to endure hardness. Durability. The men who moved this world are the men who could not be moved. The men who did something for God were the men who stood by God's book. When they did that, the God of this book stood beside them. May God give us some of that durability that the saints of old have had. When I read of the martyrs, the missionaries, and what they went through, I feel ashamed that I've ever complained about anything that God's put on me. I read not long ago a short story of John Huss, that great Bohemian martyr, who when he was well up in years, was martyred. For the simple reason that he believed the scriptures were infallible and the final authority. They said, you must believe the church and the scriptures are equal. They're both authorities. I said, it cannot be. You cannot have two authorities. One must be supreme. And he said, if this book be what it claimed to be, God's word, then it must be the final authority. They took that man, 80 years of age nearly, tied him there, ready to burn him at the stake. They said, old man, we'll give you one more chance to recant. Recant! He looked at him and he said, listen, I did not come hither to deny my Lord and Savior. What I have taught with my lips, I now seal with my blood. Light the flame. That's the durability we need. In the face of persecution and opposition, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A few years ago, my wife and I went over to England and Ireland and Scotland. We got to see a lot of great things. There were some martyrs and a lot of our history that, of course, originated from England and came over this way. We got to meet several missionaries and preachers. But one of the spots that I treasured the most was to stand in a little place called Bedford, England, on nothing but a little marble thing that's in a sidewalk where a man named John Bunyan spent nearly 12 years in jail. John Bunyan was the man who in jail wrote that great book, The Pilgrim's Progress. You know what he was put in jail for? Preaching on the street without a license. They said you cannot preach without a license. And you better get ready because we'll probably be looking at that for long. You cannot do it without a license. He was put in jail in deplorable conditions, a wife, little girl who was sick, and he himself sick, and spent nearly 12 years in that jail. They came to him and said, John, we'll let you out of prison if you'll promise not to preach. He looked at him and he said, I'll stay in this prison cell until moss grows on my eyebrows, but I'll never cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ. He said, let me out today, and I will be preaching tomorrow. That's the spirit that we need. That's the kind of determination that you and I, as the children of God, need. We need durability, and there's something else that we need. And I call this excite.
ability.
That's the ability to get excited and enthused about the things of the Lord. The Bible says that the church age we live in is like the Laodicean church age. The church age prior, in the book of Revelation, to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would, he said, that thou wert cold or hot. Like it or not, God is an extremist. A lot of people don't like to say that. They don't like to think about it. God is an extremist. With God, it's either heaven or hell, right or wrong. I mean, it's just clear cut on any major thing in God's sight. And he said, I would that you were hot or cold. Now, let me tell you, one of the curses upon Christianity today is a dead, lifeless Christianity. People say, well, I wonder why we can't reach anybody. Go into the average Baptist church and look around. You see, you can't even get a holy smile, much less a holy amen. I mean, you went in, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you? What are you doing here today?
I've never seen people, you come into church and you look at them. I mean, look at the average Baptist church. People, it looks like a cemetery rather than a church. It looks like a graveyard rather than a church where people, listen, many people endure church instead of enjoying it. When I got saved, I got churchy. I like to go to church. I enjoy church. I enjoy going where the songs of Zion are sung, the word of God is preached, and God's people. I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy the singing. I enjoy the teaching. I enjoy the preaching. And you're not going to preach me out of the pew. You're not going to preach too long. You're not going to preach overtime. Doesn't matter what you do. I like it. I may not always agree with something somebody said, but if they're preaching the truth, they feel it, I can't agree with it, then I'll just kick myself or I'll do something else. Amen? But I'll tell you, you look at churches today. Well, why don't people want to come? Well, have you ever seen anybody anxious to get on a sinking ship? Have you ever seen anybody running down here to the bay? I've seen some ships out there today in the water. Do you ever see a ship going down sinking and saying, hey, I want to get on that sinking ship. Let me on. Why, the old ship of Zion in most churches looks like it's going down for the last time. Now, whenever I preach this, a lot of times people say, Brother Jim, you shouldn't preach about being excited about the Lord. Aren't you afraid that people are going to get too excited and get too carried away? When they say that, I look at them and I say, what Baptist church have you ever been in where you had a fear of too much zeal and excitement for the Lord? Where have you ever been in a Baptist church where you had to have deacons say, now cool it, bud, you're getting a little too wild. Cut it out on the amen. That's 35 of them you said in 30 minutes. Now don't do any more. Now no more hallelujah, sister. Now cut out praising the Lord. What did I've never seen a Baptist church in my life where you had to have seat belts in order to keep them down. People say, aren't you worried about Baptists becoming too emotional? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Where have you ever seen a Baptist become too emotional in church? Our worry is not too emotion, it's too little emotion. And I found out a long time ago, it's much easier to restrain a wild man than it is to raise a dead man. Most places I go, you've been trying to raise the dead rather than that. What if we lived in the days of Joshua, went there in a great battle, marched around those walls, said, march around one time, seven day, march around seven times, they'll blow the trumpet. And then he said, say to all the people, shout. Shout. Now don't look at me, that's in your Bible. You ought to read your Bible sometime. There's an amazing amount of stuff in the Bible, amen? And he said, march around that city seven times, preach, if we have a long blast on the trumpet, look at the people and say, shout! Boy, if you said that in most Baptist churches, they'd say, that guy is a fanatic, he is a radical, he is a nut. And that's what's wrong a lot of our churches today. Who would want to have something that makes most Baptists look like they do? I mean, who would want to have that mule-faced religion that most of them have got? You say, I don't believe in shouting. That's evident. You say, I don't believe in all of that. I understand that. And I'm not saying you do. I'm not saying that you have to act like I do. Lord help you if you do. Amen. I'm not saying you have to do that. I don't ever get too excited myself. But listen, zeal and real excitement for the Lord is a thing that God's people need more of. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things in this world that I enjoy doing.
I enjoy fishing. I like, man, I get me a fishing rod or something, want to try it out. Just like Dr. Ruffin, you know, my wife, she's always teasing me, says, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I don't know, you know, just one of these days I'll figure it out. But I enjoy fishing. I like hunting. I like get out there. I like sports. And I like to do things that are, some of those things that are there. I don't want to ever get to the point in my life where I get more excited and enjoy anything more than the things of God. I don't want to get to the point where I enjoy catching a physical fish more than I enjoy catching a spiritual fish. Last Sunday in my church, they brought a man for the first time in the Navy, trying to get some ministry going there. The military people there, he came, said, over here. I preached, gave the invitation, and he got saved. Well, I now had to spell right there in church, amen? You say, why? Because that man got saved. Saved, you understand? Rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented more than 99 who need no repentance. He's saved. Saved. But I don't want to get to the place in my life where anything excites me more than the things of the Lord. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, said to God's people in Ephesians chapter 5. In Romans, he said, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. In many churches, the church pillars have become the church pillows to sleep and while their time away. Excitability. The ability to be excited over the things of the Lord. Now, I don't mean you have to shout hallelujah, amen, run the aisles. Doesn't bother me. I've had them in my church come and run around me when I was preaching. And almost every week there'll be somebody run. I don't run, but it doesn't bother me. No, long as they're walking, trying to live right, you know, that's all right. Doesn't bother me a bit. But surely every now and then you could give a holy grin. I mean, just a quick one every now and then. Or just a little, amen. I mean, surely it could just kind of squeak out every now and then. The ability to become excited. There's one other ability that God would want us to have. This is dependability. Dependability. There's no area of life that can operate without dependability. Our government, I was going to say it couldn't operate. Well, I don't know if it is operating or not, but at least it couldn't function without some dependability. I think we've probably got the best president that we've had in a long time. I think that we've seen some things happen that are good, but no government could operate without some body you could depend on. No business could operate without dependability. None of your families could function without dependability. You have to have a wife that you can depend on. If you go off to work, she stays at home, watch the kids. You have to be able to depend on her, trust her. If you're the husband and you go out to make money, she's got to depend on you, that you ain't out here running around. Dependability is something that must be in every area of life. Bob Jones Sr. years ago said the greatest ability is dependability. Can God count on you? Can God depend on you? Let me ask you something. Everybody in this church was as faithful to this church or your church as you are. How faithful would the people be? If everybody prayed in your church as much as you pray, how much praying would be going on? If everybody witnessed as much as you witness, how much witnessing would be going on? If everybody gave as much money as you gave, how much money would be coming into the church? If everybody read their Bible as much as you read your Bible, how much Bible reading would be going on? You said, now preacher, nothing. That's what this church or any church is all about. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the pastor. You are that church. Can God depend upon you? Can God count on you? Years ago, I realized that I had no real ability that I could see. Singing and teaching, preaching. But I realized there's one thing. I wanted to be somebody that God could depend on. I wanted to be somebody that every time I stood and preached, that I would preach what I thought was right and preach the very best I possibly could. I wanted to be somebody that when God
needed someone to pass out a crack and said, do it, I'd do it. I want to be someone that when God said, go talk to them, I'd go talk to them. When God needed somebody for a job, I wanted Him to be able to depend on me and put His hand on me and say, do it. Can God count on you? Can God depend on you? Dependability. Maybe the greatest ability that any of us could have would be that dependability. Years ago, there lived a man named Bud Robinson, who was a Nazarene preacher. His doctrine, especially later on in years, got kind of fouled up. But he was saved, believing sanctification, a lot of other things. He was a great man. If you ever get a chance to read his life testimony, you read it. He was raised in a home that he said was a little bit of hell on this earth. He said, you've heard of homes being a little bit of heaven on earth? He said, my home was a little bit of hell on earth. He said, my dad made his money with bootleg whiskey, moonshine, had that corn, it wouldn't stand up, he had to liquefy it, put it in a jar, you understand? And he said, that's how he made his money. He said, we were taught to lie, to steal, to cheat. He said, my sisters were nothing but unpaid prostitutes. And he said, our home, literally a little bit of hell on this earth. So the only bright spot was my mother, who was an old-time Methodist and had been saved. And so the Methodists came to town and had a meeting, and she begged all of us to go. And finally said the night came where she begged me to go. Said I didn't want to go, but he said, finally I went. He said, I went there one night, I had a pistol in my back pocket, a bottle of moonshine in the other, deck of cards. He said, you just talk about a mess. I was a mess. He said, that Methodist preacher preached, and I'd already made up my mind. I wasn't going to pay no attention to him. And he said, they got done. They gave an invitation. They said, in those days, the invitation was a little bit different. He said, if you know somebody here in this tent tonight that's lost, go stand beside them and pray for them. And he said, everybody knew Bud Robinson. He said, everybody there knew I was lost. He said, I thought everybody in the tent was going to come right next to me. He said, I stiffened up and made up my mind, reached for my pistol, and said, the first man comes next to me, I'll take his pistol, knock him right upside the head, and get out of here. He said, you know what happened? Some old grandma, white-haired, sweet grandma, came up next to me and was going to pray for me. They said, now how in the world could you smack grandma? He said, there's no way I could do it. And he said, well, this won't be too bad. He said, get grandma praying, this lady said, this old lady said, this won't be much. And he said, I forgot how old time Methodists prayed. Said, this old white haired grandma got on her knees and said, oh God. Said, if there's anybody that's lost in this tent, you know it's Bud Robinson. If there's anybody that dies tonight and going to bust hell open, you know it's Bud Robinson. He's lost. Said, old boy, said, I've been in fights and knifing and shooting. I've never been so scared in all my life. He said, I jumped over her and ran to the aisle and turned the wrong way. And he said, the next thing you know, I was coming to the altar. The preacher said, you want to kneel? He said, I don't want to kneel. I just want to lay down. Let me lay down. He said, I laid there that night. And he said, that night, God saved my worthless soul. He said, it wasn't long until God said, I want you to preach. He said, I got a chance to preach. And he said, after the service, the deacons took me aside and said, now, Bud, we're glad you got saved. He said, we're glad. Your life has changed. I said, do us a favor. Don't ever preach again. I said, you'll do more harm to the cause of Christ than good. And he said, you know, it broke my heart and crushed me as nothing had ever done before. He said, I went up on a mountain, took my Bible, laid and prayed and cried all night. He said, God, I know I'm uneducated. God, I know I have a speech impediment. And he said, I know that I'm ignorant. But he said, God, you saved me. And he said, God, if you want me to preach, show me. He said, as that sun rose in the morning, the Son of Righteousness spoke to my heart. And he said, go preach. And he said, I may have not been able to preach in churches. But he said, I took my little pony, my Bible, and my book of hymns and praises, and went and preached wherever they would let me preach. And he said, in that first year, 300 people came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Why? Because he was somebody
God could depend on. Christianity said no. Everything around him said it can not be done. As uncomely and unnecessary a part of the body of Christ you'd never see. But God used him in a great way. You know why? He had an ability called dependability. Christian, these are some abilities that all of us need to have, and we can have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Nay, he said, those members of the body seem to be more feeble are necessary. Tonight, just some simple things that have been said and very practical. That's all I know how to say. But these are some things that God's people need to realize. Some things that you and I need to realize tonight. That if we're saved, we're part of God's body. We're part of the body of Christ. God wants to use us. God has a job for us to do. You know what some of you need to do tonight? You need to come to this altar and kneel. And make yourself available. Say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. But God, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Use me. Some of you are getting weary and discouraged. You're getting faint along the way. You need to come to this altar and say, Lord, give me the ability to endure hardness as a good soldier. Help me tonight, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God and stand. And having done all, stand. Some of you need that durability tonight. Hard times will come. Troubles will come our way. And problems will be there. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It'll be there. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. They'll persecute you. May God give us some of that ability, durability, God's people have had in every age. The ability to be excited over the things of the Lord. People say, I don't believe. And that emotion. There's nothing wrong with emotion as long as it's governed by the Holy Spirit of God and channel. I'm not talking about some kind of a charismatic type thing that we look at today. But I'm talking about real Bible zeal. We're emotional people. I dare to say there are many men in here that haven't got excited about something. Maybe a ball game. Or a woman that hasn't got excited sometime in her life. Those stirrings of our emotion need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And child of God, dependability. You say, Brother Jim, I can't preach. I don't know if God's called me to teach. I can't play music. I can't listen. It's time to stop saying what you can't do. Fall on your face and find out what you can do. And I'll tell you what you can be. You can be somebody God can depend on. What a great ability. Dependability. Father, I thank you tonight for this time that we've had to meet around your book. And I thank you for these people that have come, the receptive spirit that they've had to the Word of God. And I know I'm not a great preacher. I know that. If nobody knows that, you and I know it, Lord. But Lord, I want to do the best I can. I know there's other men smarter and wiser and greater. But all I can do is the best that I can. Lord, when I was 16 years old, I fell upon my face before you and said, I want to do whatever I can for you. And I mean it again tonight. I'm available for you to use in whatever way you want, wherever you want me to go. And God, help me to endure hardness as a good soldier. Christianity is not all nice and it's not all easy. You yourself said, no man having put his hand to the plow Plow indicates work, Lord. It indicates sweat, hard times. Help us to endure hardness. And Lord, help us to be excited over the things that you're excited over. Help us to be stirred over what you're stirred over. Lord, help each one of us to want to be somebody you can count on. Bless the Word of God. Bless the message tonight. May it do the work in my heart, in the heart of every person that's here tonight. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Pianists come, with the praisers here. We're going to sing a song of invitation. God has spoken to your heart. Simple. Won't you just come, kneel at this altar, and pray. Whatever it is God's dealt with you about, come and tell Him. God's real. He's real. His Word's real. And what He's got for you to do is real. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved? Say amen.
Amen.
God's got something for you to do. He has a job for you to do. May God help you tonight. Whatever your need is, whatever these abilities, you can have them. You'll come and ask God to help you. What number, brother?
438?
438. God spoke in your heart. You come as we sing and kneel at this altar. Let's sing on the first verse. Spoken to you, come on. Just kneel here at the front, the altar, one of these pews, right where you're at if you'd like. These abilities are not in your life. They can be. They ought to be. Let's just bow our heads now and let the pianist play softly if she would. It's about nice clothes. Well, these are praying. I want God to use me. I want God to do something with my life. Everywhere I go in every state, I see thousands and thousands of people who have done nothing but living, paying their bills, growing old and going to die. And I said, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go through this life and get to the end of it and look back and see nothing that I've ever done for you. I want to do something for you. Now listen, if God can use me, He can use you. If God can put His hand upon somebody and use them, He can do it for you. Come and kneel and say, Lord, here I'm available, God. Take me. Lord, it's hard. At times I feel like quitting. At times the world beats in on me. The flesh and the devil just about overcome me. Help me to endure hardness. Help me. Consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Lest you be weary. Consider what He endured for us. We'll be better able to endure for Him. Some of you need to come and say, Lord, I don't know any ability or talent I really have. But God, I want to be somebody you can count on. I want to be a Christian that you can depend on me by your grace to try to do and live right. The scripture we said every part has a job. Every part functions and must function for the body of Christ to work right. May God help you to see that tonight. Terry, just another minute while these pray. Things are right between you and the Lord. I'm glad you pray for these that are praying. Stop making excuses and alibis. Put these abilities in your life. Our Father, tonight we just thank you, Lord, for this message that you gave us. Lord, there's hearts here tonight that are heavy. Hearts here tonight, God, that are fighting some hard battles. Oh, I pray tonight, God, that, Lord, you'd show them maybe for the first time in their Christian life that your shoulders are strong enough to bear it. God, may you teach them tonight, Lord, that they can just cast it all upon thee. Lord, may you teach them about the great peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes these things come and we don't understand them, but God, I pray tonight that, Lord, you'd show us just how we can trust you, even in hard times. God, help tonight. Thank you for these at the altar. God, may we remember them tomorrow at prayer. God, may you help us, Lord, to remember these meetings. God, the singing is excellent. Lord, God, the preaching is just reminding us of what it's all going to be about, and it's stirring our hearts. God, move upon our hearts tonight. And Lord, help us to see that if we're dependable and that we can invite somebody and open our mouth and tell them, and be excited about it. God, I pray, Lord, may every person be able tomorrow to just be telling them about how good God has been. Lord, help us, God, in this meeting, Lord, to continue to seek your face. Lord, may you bless every heart and every soul tonight. Many needs tonight. Lord, we pray tonight, God, that you'd meet every one of them. Bless the hearts and souls tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for coming. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.